chance of a shower. The high 92. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts, your home of those premium arch sports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, they will clear it. Make sure you guys check them out. Simple process. Take those arch supports that they give you, throw them in your shoes, work boots, high heels, tennis shoes. It doesn't matter what they are. They can go in there and they will help knock out that pain. That's clinically proven to do so for 4 weeks, man, 4 short weeks, that is. So make sure you guys check them out. Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa. Walk on in. They'll be glad to take you in there and show you around, show you how they work. They've got shoes as well that you can pair up with them, like those Brooks tennis shoes that are really comfortable. I got me a pair while I was in there, and they are absolutely phenomenal. But make sure you guys check them out. Goodfeet.com is their website. You can learn more information, find the nearest location to you. They are nationwide. They are presenting sponsors, so big shout out to them. But I'm telling you guys, you got to check them out if you haven't already. If you're like me and you're on your feet a lot and doing a whole bunch, man, these things are game changers. And I absolutely love them. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, guys, it's a Talking Tuesday, so we're going to do plenty of talking. Not like we don't talk a whole bunch anyway, right? But typically, we try to talk to you guys as much as we can, meaning we try to just let the phone lines rip. And if you guys are in the YouTube chat, let it rip there. Drop as many comments as you want. We'll discuss it. You guys are pretty much the co-hosts on these Talking Tuesdays, especially one like today. It's a bye week, so we don't really have too much to dive into in an opponent. But we will continue, I guess, maybe looking a little bit at the Wisconsin game, maybe break down a few more things there. But as you guys can see by the title of the video on our stream, I do want to jump into this conversation. So this will probably be the main lead. But again, we can go anywhere and everywhere. But since we are at a bye week, right, we've seen three games for Alabama thus far. We always like to do this on this show. And I think other people do it as well. I think it's pretty common. But I would like to give out grades, right? So you look at it, right, it's a 12-game regular season, meaning, all right, three games. That's like the first quarter. So why not do it on a Talking Tuesday while we're geared up to talk a whole bunch? So that's what we're probably going to start with. But again, we'll talk about a couple other things here and there. But Talking Tuesday, we're kicking off with our grades. And again, the way we do it here is we look at offense, defense, and special teams, right? And we go off of a letter system, right? So A through F is typically how we like to do it here. So keep that in y'all's mind, right? That's going to be what we're going to talk about, at least early on, right? We're going to take a look, and that includes week one, Florida State, week two, ULM, and week three, this past weekend, Wisconsin, right? So this is how you do it. You look at week one, week two, week three, put it all together, right? And then you come up with the grade. So don't base it off of one game, one performance, or only what you saw week three. You got to include even the ugly, which is a little bit of week one. That's how we like to do it. I guess you guys can grade how you want, but that's how we like to do it. We like to be fair, honest, and give a true assessment. And that's what we will do. So that's my challenge for you guys, everybody here in the chat, all our listeners on the radio as well. Make sure you guys have that in mind. Again, 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone lines. If you guys forget on the chat, just look at the bottom on the ticker that's scrolling. You'll see it at some point. You'll see the number. Again, 205-342-9904. Plus, you can always just drop your answers and responses here in the chat, and I'll try my best to read everything. Even though I know we get a lot of stuff, sometimes I miss some stuff. Bear with me, but I'll try my best to do that. A couple other things we can hit on. We can talk about, you know, other teams, look around the league. Again, it is a bye week, so we got plenty of time to do that. Compare how we stack up with the rest of the SEC. There's been some good football being played, obviously. We haven't talked too much about a whole bunch of other teams because we've been so locked in on Alabama through three games, but this week will be perfect for that. So we'll take a look at, obviously, Georgia, right, our next opponent. We'll check in with them, see how they've looked through three games. You know, the LSUs, even at Texas, right, who had a lot of hype coming into the year, I'm not going to lie. They've been a little underwhelming thus far. I'm sure you guys would agree with that. But anyway, we'll probably start taking some looks around. If we don't get to it today, we'll definitely get to it sometime this week. We've got plenty of time. A couple other news and notes I got for you guys. We will go to some press conferences at some point. They're shorter today. Coach DeBoer was at an event. He spoke to the media. We'll play that for you guys. I think it's probably around like 7 minutes or so. It's not too long. So we definitely want to hear from him. He had some injury updates and a number of other things he said. Plus, I believe Kane Womack also might have spoke to the media. I think he was down in Mobile. So we'll probably get those played at some point as well. And then last but not least, we will be joined. Again, our new, I guess it's on our new schedule, right? Tuesdays, I think is the day, right? We are joined by Slade Bolden of Slade Segments, right? Former Alabama wide receiver. He'll be joining us at 12:30, giving us his breakdown on this past weekend and maybe a couple other things. So if you guys got any questions for Slade, like last week, a lot of people were asking about Ryan Williams in the slot. Well, make sure you guys drop those here for Slade and we can ask him why he's on the show as well. So that's what we got for you guys. If anything else comes up, man, let me know. I was about to say I might have forgot something, but I'm not too aware of anything else really going on other than plenty of football going around. I watched some NFL football last night. You had two games on. Got to see a little bit of the first one closer towards the end. I saw Tampa Bay, man, had that game-winning drive, which is really impressive. And then the second game, I caught like the first half of it. But I will say, though, this didn't happen last night, but if you guys follow us on social media, make sure you guys do at the Miller's Edge. You can also send us content there. I forgot to say that. If there's anything that comes up and you guys want us to hit it, you can either message us in the chat here or just tag us in whatever that is on Twitter or X and we'll check it out. But one thing, man, that did come up, and I quote tweeted again, it was Baldy doing the breakdown. It wasn't me doing it. I just shared his tweet. But man, talk about probably one of the best blocks, Chase, I think I've ever seen, especially coming from that fullback position, man. It came from Robbie Oates, former Alabama tight end.
That's Robbie Oates, the rookie.
There it is. But man, talk about an impact he's having with Seattle, right? I mean, and you're talking about a position that's
Steelers.
Rare nowadays, right? I mean, you don't really see too many fullbacks anymore with all this spread offense. But you talk about a dude that fits it perfect, man. And shout out to Robbie being a South Carolina native like myself. But guys, watch this block. If you guys on the stream, you can see this. If you're listening radio, man, basically he's got a lead block. They line up in I formation, right? Old school pro personnel, I formation. And Robbie just got a clear lead block. I mean, this is talking about like old school. It's backs on backers, right? And Robbie just, I mean, squares up. I think that's Peyton, what's his name, played at NC State, who was drafted by the Steelers a couple years ago. But, I mean, perfect leverage, right? His inside shoulder on his outside. That way he's sealing him, right? Because nine is running, trying to hit to the left side of him. I'm drawing a blank on the gap. I want to say it was, what, B gap? I mean, the hole just opened up so wide. But anyway, great leverage. And then he just bullies him, pancakes him into Patrick Queen, end up being a 2-for-1, and they both get pancaked. I mean, honestly, dude, I mean, for a rookie, that was probably one of the most impressive plays I've ever seen. It's one of those things that probably won't – it got noticed because Baldy was breaking it down. I'm sure some people on the TV copy caught it, but you know what I mean? Like, guys like that, man, are going and doing that and putting their bodies on line for the other guy to get all the praise running the ball because that ended up breaking for a really nice run. Man, what a dog, man. I'm not going to lie. We talk about our running game needing a little bit. Maybe we're missing – anybody can run the football like that. So shout out to Robbie, man, former Alabama guy and South Carolina native, man. Hell of a play right there. It's beautiful. That's why I wanted to share that. But anyway, I thought that was cool. That being said, let's hit our first timeout. We come back. We jump into the classroom. This time we're not giving you guys football lessons. We're going to be giving out some grades, right? Everybody likes grades, I guess, when they're good. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be grading Alabama through three games. Again, I want to get y'all's grades as well. So everybody in the chat, go ahead and drop those grades. Offense, defense, special teams, A through F. I want those grades. Radio listeners, call in 205-342-9904, or you can leave it on the app message. And I already got my junk email pulled up. That way I get it. And it looks like I missed a couple yesterday. So that's on me. But I'll bring them back up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store America.
And that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arts support experts. I was trying to find my glasses, man, because I'm about to go in teacher mode, and we are about to give out some grades. I don't have my glasses in front of me, so unfortunately I can't play that role, but and that would be kind of weird. Anyway, let's just carry on. All right, we're giving out grades, right? Looking at Alabama, three games played. Week one on the road, Florida State. We all know how that went. Week two, bounced back strong, big 73-0 blowout against ULM at home. And then we know, obviously, this past weekend, defeating Wisconsin, the Badgers, 38-14. Another very solid win for Alabama. Climbing up the ranks, Chase, moving up the polls. And again, everything's still in front of us. So that being said, I'm looking at your, y'all's grades here in our chat, again, streaming on YouTube at the Miller's Edge. And I was just telling everybody here, for our radio listeners, it's crazy how everything's kind of flipped now, man. Like, last year, I feel like we would have had, a lot more grace, but you guys aren't playing anymore, man. And I see people saying, no, we don't have time to get complacent. We want to see it consistently done. And it is clear that you guys aren't even completely sold over the last 2 weeks. But I'll say this, man, overall, starting with week one, we know how that went. I think we pretty much, and I think we gave grades that following Monday. I don't remember exactly what they were. I think defense was like a D. I think I was being nice instead of D. I think everybody else was saying F. I forgot why I tried to give them a little bit of grace. I'm trying to think back if there's something, but F/D, whatever. Offense is definitely like C minus, if not a D, but they at least did, some stuff. Special teams in that game, Chase. I don't even remember. Anyway, that we all know that game was really bad, right? Everybody probably could just, agree. We did give that probably really bad grade. But the last two, even though the opponents weren't anything crazy, I feel like we got a lot of answers that we were looking for. So I'll say this. I would give collectively, all right, let's start with the offense. I would say offensively, Chase, I'm kind of torn here, right? Because, against ULM, and I know it was ULM, but when you're talking about like perfect completion percentages for Ty, then Austin Mack being like 8 of 10, Keelan Russell shining, running the football well, putting up 73 points. I know the opponent's bad, and I know that we did what we were supposed to do. But a lot of other teams also have played cupcakes this year, and they didn't quite do what they're supposed to do. Georgia with Austin Peay, Clemson against Troy. I mean, the list goes on, right? Texas when they played whoever it was not long ago, right? I mean, 73-0 and being like flawless with that type of execution, man, offensively, I'm speaking. I mean, that still was very impressive, right? I think Ty has really come to life. I was talking about him yesterday. And it's not that he didn't do great in the first – I mean, I wouldn't say he did great in the first game, but it's not he did bad, right? He actually played pretty well week one. Definitely just had some, some lapses in judgment, timing a little off. But it's week one, you know what I mean? But I didn't grade him so harsh like some other people did. So personally, just seeing him really just get that confidence over the last 2 weeks and really just going out there and just being cerebral, man. I mean, pinpoint accuracy. I mean, quick decisions, right? Really just taking command, getting his playmakers the ball, not turning the football over. I know he had the fumble against Florida State. He got sacked, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, he's been really solid. The biggest knock really for this offense really, and we talked about it yesterday, offensive line play needs to be better. Running game, we got to get that. I think I heard AJ talk about it. It's like we've been saying, you have to have a running game, especially in this league. I know we're passing the ball extremely well. Ty's been very accurate. We got great playmakers. But when you play these good defenses, right, you do not want to be one-dimensional, because when they start playing, like AJ was talking about, like shell coverage, and they start dropping guys, taking stuff away, or they're just pinning their ears back and coming after you, and we know our offensive line is not the most consistent, especially in pass pro, you trust me, all that pretty airing the ball out is going to shrink, right, because you're one-dimensional. But anyway, that being said, I think I would probably give the offense a B-plus right now. And that's why, really. I mean, if we had our running game established better and our offensive line play was better, I would have no problem going A, honestly, even with the performance against Florida State. But because of those things still being a question for me, I got to go. I'm going to go B-plus, right? I won't even be mad if somebody just said flat B or whatever, but I'm going to say B-plus just because I've been really impressed with Ty, what he's been able to do. The receivers look great. We've got young guys stepping in. It's just that offensive line play through the first three games is just hadn't really sold me yet, right? And that was my biggest key coming into this football season. We need the offensive line play to show up and to improve. So I'm going to go B-plus there through three games offensively. Defensively, man, Chase, brother, this one's tough, man, because I know a lot of people are fired up after seeing, look, the question's really going into this last game against Wisconsin. We want to get more pressure on the quarterback. We saw that, and I do applaud them. But it just did it for me, at least. Just knowing how bad Wisconsin's offensive line looked, I'm just worried that that could be a false sense of confidence. Not saying it's not improving. It definitely is improving. I highlighted the execution in that game where they broke it to the back, high-speed rush to the field, got Deontay, you know, filling the hole, right? Like, it's coming along. Seeing Quay Russo, I went back and watched that play. He definitely had great get-off, but he did have a violent chop, right? Bent back extremely well, made a nice sack, beautiful play. Like, they're stepping up in pass rush, which they need to. And I said, Yonde Pierre needs to be a factor, right? He's going to be a big piece for this defense, and he's shown that the past couple weeks. So I know it's improving, but I want to see them do that against a quality offensive line, because I'm telling you, the quality of the offensive line you're going to, you know, a bad offensive line can make a defense look like it's filled with Khalil Mack and Will Anderson, right? It's just a fact. That being said, we did clean up the intensity issue on defense. Tackling has been better. We saw Braves physically tackling guys. Linebacker play has improved. We started forcing some turnovers the past couple weeks. I mean, that week one game was just so bad, Chase, though, I'm not going to lie to you. It's hard for me to really just push that out. It was that bad. I'm on the fence between B-/C+. And other reasons, too, being I want to see this defensive line in front seven against an offense, right? I know Florida State was actually pretty decent. We saw how that looked. Last 2 weeks, man, ULM, Wisconsin's offense, again, the offensive line was bad. We knew their running game had been terrible the first 2 weeks against small opponents. They had a backup quarterback. And again, it's not our fault. We did what we were supposed to do. Chase, I'm gonna give defense, man. God, I'm torn, man. I don't want to be that. I don't want to chapstick, but at the same time, I'm trying to give them a little bit of grace, because week one could have just been week one. And they can't control who they play the past two weeks. I'm going to give them some grace, Chase. I'm going to give defense. Nah, I got to stick to my guns. I'm giving them a C+. I'm sorry, guys. I'm giving them a C+. I'm just being completely honest with you. I'm giving them a C+. Only because, look, I think that's just very fair, man. Like, the past 2 weeks, I've been much more pleased with how they've been playing. But if I'm being completely honest with you, I still haven't seen, like, something out of that group, like, even with the improvements. I still just feel like when we get into some of these bigger games, some of that stuff we're going to revert back to a little bit. I know you guys don't want to hear that, but I have to see us in a couple more weeks, man. And I think that's fair, man. I'm going to go C+ with defense right now. I'm sorry. Let's see, but let's do this, Chase. Let me at least give them a chance. Let me pull up. Where do we stack defensively right now? Tied for six, I believe, in what category is that? Is that total defense? No, that's not even, what are we talking about? Hold on, I'll get this pulled up here in a second. I'm still going C+, and we'll just keep on rolling. Special teams, I gave you guys the stats during the break. We were 3-for-4 field goals. Only punted the ball a few times. I'll be honest with you, but we did give up a kick return, I guess, against Wisconsin. I feel like we're just very average there. What's the average grade? I don't know. Should I just go C plus with that one too? I'm going to go C plus with special teams. So I'm going to go B plus offense, C plus defense, and C plus special teams. Overall, I don't know where that really puts you. I guess, I mean, averaging, that would probably be around, I think on average, I would just say a B minus, honestly. And that's that again, those are just my grades, man. Those are just my grades. So that being said, there we go. I got offense at a B plus. Defense, I got a C plus slash B minus. Man, I'm kind of torn on there. I'll figure it out. But and then special teams, I'm just going to go C plus. We hadn't really had too much on there, but nothing really crazy either. But there you go. Those are my grades. Now it's time to read y'all's when we come back from this break. I'm definitely curious. Again, if you guys haven't or you're just joining, offensive grade, defensive grade, special teams grades, man. Put yourselves in that teacher's role and drop them here in the YouTube chat. Drop an app message on the the Tide 100.9 app, or call us 205-342-9904, and we'll keep on rolling with our grades when we come back after this quick timeout.
Downtown. Don't miss it. Free entry, cold beer, and great times at Government Plaza. Details at TuscaloosaOctoberfest.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9-
Research saves lives.
So please, help us fight in this battle against cancer.
Be a part of the team that ends cancer at standuptocancer.org.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
Outdoor living spaces and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact
24/7. Call 800-273-8255 or visit vetsforhope.com. Sponsored by the partners of Alabama's Challenge and the Alabama Broadcasters Association.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com,
on the app,
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill,
with two locations in Tuscaloosa,
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We are playing the role of teacher today, and we're handing out grades, Chase, obviously. We've gone through my grades, right? I ended up with a B-plus for offense again. If our running game was better established, if our offensive line play was a little bit more consistent, right? Even with the Florida State game, I probably could have looked past a little bit of that, right? And then gone with like an A-minus, but because that running game still is like a big question mark for me, I got to keep them in the B category. I mean, B/B+. But the promising thing is Ty Simpson honestly looks to be one of the better quarterbacks in the conference, which doesn't really shock me. But to see that, man, that's very promising because a lot of people, see, this is why you don't listen to a lot of people, right? We on this show said, don't worry about the quarterback. The offensive line is what you need to worry about for this season. Everybody else was saying, oh, they've got the number one offensive line in the country. Oh, but they don't have a quarterback that's proven anything. Don't listen to those people. Listen to people that you got it. Anyway, we're going to go with the B+ there. And then defense, I went C+. I wouldn't be mad if I did give them some grace and go B-. I think initially I did start with that. I don't even know. But it is what it is. I need to see more, right? I'm glad I'm seeing that intensity. I'm glad I'm seeing, you know, better angles, right? More people running to the football, right? More turnovers the last couple of weeks. But they're still just, I mean, the pass rush picking up, right? But they're still just, I just feel like there's something to be seen with this defense, man. And it just worries me. Like, I don't know. I feel like when we get into some of these bigger games, this defense to me, I don't, it's just something I can't put my finger on it, but I'm going C+ though. I get it. The goose egg against ULM, great sacks last week, forcing turnovers, but that was awesome. That Wisconsin offense was really bad, man. And I think somebody said it. My grades will be a lot more, I guess, secure and then I guess more, I don't know, probably a little bit more accurate once we see Georgia. Then, you know, that game will tell us a lot more. But anyway, that's what you got in special teams. I just went C+ because we hadn't even really got to see a whole bunch, but it hadn't been anything crazy either as well. So I guess somebody asked what's my overall grade. I would say overall, I mean, to be fair, and I've watched a lot of these other teams stacking us up, man, I would probably say B- right now overall, just because I want to give our team some credit for the way they've responded, right? And again, they can't control who they've played, and they've done what they're supposed to do and done some good stuff. So I'm just going to go B- overall, right? And I think I'm expecting it to hopefully improve, but I do know we got a gauntlet coming up when we come back off this bye, and we're going to, you know, hit the SEC running. So buckle up, guys. It's going to be quite the ride. That being said, looking at some of you guys' grades, and then we'll get to the phone lines because I know we've got some callers that want to share their grades. For our radio listeners, right, again, we got a YouTube chat, so everybody's dropping their grades. To be fair, man, we got some harsh critics in the chat. And look, man, hey, I like honest talk, man, right? That's what we like to do on here. We like to be honest. But I see a lot of overall, a lot of Bs and B- overall, which is fair. A lot of similar things, you know, B with the offense, C's in for the special teams and defense. Somebody said running game F. Ryan is going hard. He's definitely grading pretty tough there. But yeah, man, I see a lot of C's and some B's. So I think everybody's kind of around the same area right now. So yeah, I think that's pretty fair. And then Tony here says B+, but still lack of running game. Not sure if Jam will make a big difference. It's up front. Absolutely, I agree with that. But I do think Jam will at least give you a chance to add a little bit, though, right? I agree. The bigger problem is definitely up front, but it will at least help a little bit having him back, I think. Defense, I give a C. No consistent pass. We're still concerned about our run fits. Fair. Yeah, I think we're all about on the same. Dwight's offense, B- because of the running game being suspect. Defense, C. Needs more from the D-line and special teams, C-, gave up a touchdown, overall B-. So, yeah, I think everybody's kind of around the same range here, which is fair. Chase, I'm putting you on the spot, man. Producer Chase behind the glass, brother. We need those grades, man. Professor Chase, what you got?
I'm kind of mild with Alabama football right now, just in general. I think since Florida State, I feel like they haven't reached their ceiling yet. So as an overall grade, I would give them a C. I think how they responded after Florida State, you know, I'll clap it up and, you know, I'm proud of them. But I think the Florida State is just a stain on, like, my coffee mug right now that I just can't overlook until they face tougher competition. Like you said, the gauntlet that's coming up that Alabama's so known for kind of getting through. So, but offensively, I would give it a C-. And I say that because of the O-line. I think Caden Proctor, and I hate to say this, but has been kind of a disappointment this year. I really have been impressed with what I've been seeing on the field, especially that they haven't faced top D lines yet. We haven't faced Georgia yet. We haven't faced LSU yet. I saw a Missouri game. Their D line was getting to the quarterback a lot. So I think the D line definitely needs to step it up, not just not just who I mentioned, but the linebacker core. Like, yeah. I haven't seen anything that's sparking, you know, what I'm used to with Alabama football. It's just a missing factor. Now, the safeties and the secondary, they've held up their own. You know, example for, like, Bray Hubbard, how he responded against Wisconsin. You know, he was the bullseye for everybody for Florida State Christian, but he responded in a way that I think everybody was like, oh, he's back. You know, he's kind of being the leader of the secondary. Special teams is interesting. I don't really have a grade for them because they really haven't shown much. Like, the field goals have been fine, like the kicker specifically. Like, there hasn't been any problems. He hasn't missed anything. Punting has been okay. I haven't seen anything like any debacles. Kick returns have been okay. Punt returns as well. I don't know if you have mentioned coaching. I would give them a C. I think how they responded after Florida State, I think they took a different approach. I do beg the question, though, if we had beat Florida State, do you think the way the coaching staff has been, they would have been more relaxed? Because I've noticed, like, in press conferences, Christian, they're more strict. They don't say much anymore. They don't reveal a lot of what they did last year. They're kind of straight to the point. So, yeah.
Listen, that's a good point. We'll segue into that for sure, because I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've been thinking this too, Chase. Like, that loss to Florida State might have been one of the best things that could have happened to us because of the mentality shift. Not just with the players, but I feel like as a coaching staff, like when you hear Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator, come out and say, yeah, I don't think I was tough enough on Ty. And then you see the response from Kalen DeBoer. He goes from, I mean, Mr. Chippy and, like, you know, cutting up and this and that. Now it's just like, we got to do it again. We got to be consistent. One, and it's almost like it finally clicked for them, like, bro, this is like, these people love you until they don't, right? And that's just, and it's like, you know that, but until you're really walking through that fire, it's a different beast, man. And I think, I mean, even at practice and in the way he, like, again, he's quicker to really get on guy. Like, I think it almost, that loss, and I'll wait to share, you know, too much, but almost like that loss kind of like, I don't even know how to put this into words, but it almost like, say like there was like this, like the training wheels were still kind of on, like in the communication, the relationships, like people not wanting to step on toes. And then after that week one loss between, you know, in the building, them being upset with how the players played and the preparation, everything, then the outside noise, I feel like almost it just kind of just, all that crap came off. You know what I'm saying? Just everything just went out the window. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's about results and winning football games. All the, not like nice guy stuff, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that stuff's kind of like taking a back seat. And I think that's honestly probably one of the best things that could have happened. Because at the end of the day, man, like, you got to have your players respecting you. You got to be able to put your foot down. And you got to be able to get guys to show up and do what they need to do on a daily basis, on a consistent basis. And I think that loss definitely could have encouraged some of what we're seeing now. But I agree with what you're saying about the grades. And coaching, I didn't throw one in there. If I had to give one, I would probably say, I'd probably say like C+. We know what week one was. I mean, I feel like it's just kind of been, you know, so still so early. I'd probably just go C+ at this point. And I think that definitely will, you know, hopefully change, but I'd probably go C+. I got pulled up on the screen just for our stream viewers. If you guys, it's hard to see. I know it's small. I'm trying to make it as big as possible, but maybe if I do that, nope, that didn't work. Anyway, this is like some stats. So defensively, we're coming in real quick. We're at the timeout. We come back. We're going to go to the phone lines. We got Alabama coming in the middle of the pack, ranking 8th in terms of points allowed, 15 through 3 games, which not bad. Definitely not bad. I mean, again, it's middle of the pack. Offensively, we come in at 5th in the conference, averaging 42, almost 43 points per game. So look at this rushing numbers. Where are we at rushing-wise? We're 14th in the conference in rushing, and in terms of stopping the run, we are 13th in rushing. So again, That to me, that needs to be better. And that's part of the reason I'm still, I know defenses look good in certain points, but there's just some stuff we still got to clean up. Passing defense, though, has been pretty solid. Granted, I feel like a lot of people have been, well, at least Florida State really just tried to run the football. They didn't really pass a whole bunch. And then the last two teams, you know, they were what they were, but we're third in the conference for what it's worth, and we're second in the conference offensively in terms of passing offense. So there's some numbers for you there. All right, we're going to hit a timeout. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. Again, we are giving out grades. We're in our teacher roles right now, and love to hear from you guys what your grades are, offense, defense, special teams, and coaching if you want to as well. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
On the game with Ryan Fowler.
Hey, coming up on the Tuesday edition of the game, we'll talk to Mike Dettillier, WWL, the Big 870. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough. We'll get an update on the Alabama Crimson Tide, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
Piece for your engagement, anniversary, or birthday.
Come experience the difference of shopping local. Visit Hudson Pool Fine Jewelers, downtown Tuscaloosa, or at hudsonpool.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 91. Clear tonight, the low 68. Tomorrow and Thursday, partly to mostly sunny both days. Highs between 89 and 92. Friday, partly sunny, a small chance of a shower, the high 92. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. Smitty, I promise we're going to come to you. We're going to get to you after we take this top of the hour break. That way you got plenty of time, and I'll just get to it early. So we'll have a quick little segment here. A couple more numbers for you guys, just again, as we're going through our, I guess, first quarter grades, right? Here are a couple numbers for you that we didn't hit. So sacks. Right now, Alabama ranks, they're tied for 12th with four, which, how many did we have against? I thought we just had four. I thought, did that not, maybe that didn't count as a sack against Florida State with, what's his name? Keon Sab. I don't know. Anyway, again, so that needs to be better. So just again, when I'm looking at this defense, I know we've been playing better, but the bulk of those really just came in this last game. So, We just got to be better. And then on the other side of things, in terms of sacks given up, I want to say we're tied for eighth. We've given up four sacks there. Then we already went over the kicking already, right? Punting, we already said. Oh, actually, dang, the stat I had was wrong. Then punting, we're 14th right now. Then, yeah, I'm not worried about. Well, kickoffs, well, we're dead last in kickoffs. So, yeah, there you go. So there's just a few numbers if you guys want to add those to y'all's grading system. That being said, Chase, let's go ahead and do this. Let's just hit our top of the hour break a little early. That way we can get Smitty on here. Plus, I know we want to hear from Kalen DeBoer at least. Maybe Kane Womack, we can get that pulled up. But again, we will be joined by Alabama, former Alabama wide receiver, Slade Bolden as well, getting his thoughts. We'll get his grades as well, and we'll continue discussing y'all's right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, but don't forget about our friends over at R&R Cigars. Code Miller's Edge gets you a discount on their website, rnrcigars.com. Looking for a place to watch games, sports of any kind, boxing, they put those on as well. R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street is a place to be. Check them out. Best humidor in the Southeast. They've also got over 160 bourbons. Really cool venue if you've never been there. Again, you can't miss it. Big White Mansion on the corner right there in that downtown area. So check them out. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Top the hour break. Come back. We keep on grading. Keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The LA Chargers are 2-0 in the young NFL season after a late-night win at Las Vegas, 20-9. Justin Herbert had two touchdown passes in the first half. Geno Smith in defeat threw three interceptions, two on tipped balls. Chargers star edge rusher Khalil Mack left with an elbow injury. His arm is in a sling. Earlier, Tampa Bay went to 2-0, getting a touchdown run in the final seconds to win at Houston, 20-19. The Texans were stopped on a fourth and goal early fourth quarter. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow will have toe surgery. He could miss at least 3 months. The Philadelphia Phillies clinched the NL East title. Kyle Schwarber hit his 53rd homer, and eventually in 10 innings, the Phils won in LA 6-5 over the Dodgers. Victories for the Reds and Diamondbacks. Houston beat Texas 6-3. Toronto won its fifth game in a row in 11 innings, 2-1 at Tampa Bay, while the Yankees were shut out 7-0 at Minnesota. Cubs beat Pittsburgh 4-0.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
dinner or just because. Seize the Deal lets you eat big without breaking the bank. These deals won't last forever. Visit seizethedeal.com/cities/Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
We'll be right back.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, let's keep on rolling. We got to get the phone lines. Been waiting to do this. 205-342-9904. We got Smitty online. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
It's going great, Professor Smitty. Tell me what you got for those grades, brother. Talk to me.
To be honest, I don't have any grades because I know that because there's some circumstances like their top two nose guys are out. You got a lot of young guys going in and out. So I put everything as these improvement because they only played three games. But I have a thing for the fans, though. Fans, it's time to move past Florida State. We're heading to game four. Everybody loves saying what Saban used to do. It was a 24-hour rule, not a one-month rule. We still, you know, everybody, what happened there? The team had to move on, and they also moved on. The coaches, the thing I liked about the coaching staff, they looked in the mirror and said, okay, what did we do wrong, and what can we do better? That's a sign of a good coaching staff, and that coaching staff never threw a player under the bus. And, unlike some coaches in this league. If I think, like, now we're off to Georgia, and that will be a month after Florida State. And I think it's time for fans to let that go. Hey, it was a bad performance, but there's still a whole lot of season left. And sometimes you just got to let that stuff go. The players obviously moved on. The coaches moved on. We have to look at Georgia now. And whatever happened then, we don't have a way back machine to change anything. So I think that we have to worry about Georgia first. Lee, that was in the past.
Yeah, no, I mean, trust me, I'm with you 100%. I mean, if anybody, I know that better than most. I mean, trust me, I understand the be where your feet are. That was drilled into my head since I arrived here. But this is sports talk radio, brother. We just having fun. I'm with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm with you. And we're not looking back at Florida State like, oh, man, like, no. We always do this. We've been doing this for years. We always go off of grades, right? We break it down first quarter grades, right? Or like first semester, whatever you want to call it. And that's what we're doing. So just collectively. But you make some good points, right? Yes, you should probably include when in your grading process. We've had injuries, guys banged up on all that. And the goal is obviously these grades will change. We're just having fun with it. But I hear what you're saying. And definitely we'll focus on Georgia. But we got a bye week. We got plenty of time to talk. So this is something we like having fun with. That's all.
I get it, you know. But it seems like a lot of fans see on social media and stuff. How about let's be happy the team has improved. Ty has found his footing. We've seen some young guys that's kind of stepping up and coming to their own, you know. And I just think that, yes. That was a bad time. But let's enjoy the two good weeks because we could say, oh, they played such and such team. Like you said, Clemson was in a dogfight with Troy. Georgia did not look that good against Austin Peay and Marshall. We've seen teams struggle, top P4 teams, and lose to those teams. South Carolina struggled with South Carolina State. So that's what I'm saying. So if you want the team handle business, and that's what you're doing, you're seeing young players, but the one thing I will say, though, about the run game, two quick things. I think Jaden Roberts and Michael Carroll might need to be in there more because, to me, they seem more physical and nastier, and that you got to have some buttholes to play those in the run game, you get what I'm saying? You know, because I know you've gone up against offensive linemen that you know the difference to the nasty ones and the ones that ain't so nasty, you know? And with the running game, I'm thinking when I watch Kevin Riley, Richard Young, and Daniel Hill. I always get those two mixed up. Yeah. It seems like Kevin Riley, that he could turn 3 yards into 6 yards. I haven't seen Richard Young and Daniel Hill do that yet. Because sometimes you're not going to have a perfect hole. You know, it's I don't know. Maybe you know more than me on that one, but maybe they don't have that in them. But I've seen AK Deer have that in him. Maybe with him, you may want to throw something in there to jam gets back, or even on defense, maybe you want to get some of these young guys a shot on passing downs, like a young Zay Pierre, to get some more juice in there. Because if the quarterback's still going to make the play, might as well go ahead and try with youth with some speed out there, some juice. And with the running game, give it a shot. You know, because, like I said, you've been there. He thought you had the guy. He turned 3 yards to the six. Like, how in the world did he do that?
You know? Right. 100%. Yeah, no, I think, and look, that stuff hopefully will keep progressing. I mean, the biggest thing is, for me, you know, it starts up front. And I think that's what they're trying to do is figure out who their best five are, right? I mean, we've seen constant rotations. That wasn't even the game plan. If you go back, remember, they had asked Coach DeBoer about the rotation, and he said he didn't anticipate seeing rotations across the offensive line this year, and that was more so a circumstantial thing last year. Well, obviously, it's very similar this year because that means that they're in active competition. I think what they're doing right now is they're trying to get the young guy, Michael Carroll, as much experience as possible, but without just throwing him out there too much. You know what I mean? Like throwing him like immediately in there. That way they can hope that he can get up to speed to the point where he's your guy at right tackle, because that's going to come. I mean, we got to secure that right side. And what sucks is, I mean, not is it just the right tackle. It's really right tackle and right guard, right? You're swapping guys there. I mean, you don't want to have that, right? That, I mean, that's what Wisconsin was dealing with somewhat, all that shuffling around. You see how they perform. So you want to secure your offensive line, and I think everything else will take care of itself. And but you're right, though. I mean, these backs are – we got some decent backs. I think Jam and Kevin would be a nice combination. They both will complement each other well and catch the ball out of the backfield well, which fits perfect with what this offense wants to do. But like you said in the beginning, I mean, it's still early. We got to, you know, take it one step at a time. But just from what we've seen, those are some, you know, concerns that I think that are very, you know, reasonable to consider right now, because they can show up in the long run. And we all know once it gets in the thick of the schedule, brother, there's a lot less room for error.
Yeah, and I'll say this before I run. The thing I like so far is Ty Simpson's improvement. His big improvement was just throwing the ball on time. You know, that's a big thing of quarterback. Throw it on time. And throwing it on time actually helps your offensive line. And I think the running game ain't been great. Cade Proctor, we know he's a swinging gate. Wilkin Formby's not that good either. He's getting the ball out. He's figuring it out. And I think that's a good sign in the NFL with quarterbacks. Cause like half my Bucks last night, down your two tackles, Baker still figured it out and won the game. And I think that's a good thing with Ty there. And I think with the offensive line, you can't have both tackles needing the chip. You got to pick a struggle somewhere, one of these tackles, you know. And I think that's an issue right there. And maybe if you keep integrating this freshman in there, if he's the best guy, I'd rather take my lumps with the more talented guy and the nastier guy if he's the best guy. Because sometimes, because like they do in the wild, mama bird going to push the bird out the nest. Either baby bird flies or goes splat, you know. And I think sometimes, because you have to bet on talent sometimes. And I just think if he's a better guy, put him out there. But, hey, thanks for taking my call, man. I know you got other people, but have a good one.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, Smitty. Yeah, no, he's right, and that's what I agree with. I said, I mean, shoot, if Carroll's a more physical, better player, you got to go ahead and roll with him and just let him grow up a little bit, which I think that's what they've been trying to do, just, you know, kind of work him in there slowly. But I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up taking that spot. All right, let's keep rolling on the phone lines. So I know we got Slade coming up at 12:30. We got Carson up next. Carson, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how you doing, bud?
I'm good, bro. How's everything been?
It's been good. Just going through the seasonal Bama struggles, just like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been bad. It's been better recently, so that's good.
Yeah, it has been. I just wanted to come and qualify kind of some of the statements. I misspoke in chat about like running, getting on the perimeter from in the running game, and just kind of just echoing what I was saying, where I'm not panicked quite yet. I don't think we've been tested where it's like, hey, you have to run the football and you can't. I don't know if it's come to that yet, to where we see the full thing. Like I said, I think there's some things on there. Absolutely, Smitty was right. Michael Carroll has to play. I mean, that dude's an ass kicker. He's played well, and I think we need to bet on that talent. But it just didn't seem like that was in the game plan in the Wisconsin game. A lot of those, I mean, even look at the short yardage stuff that we did, like throwing the little screen to Josh Quavis, the ending around to Bernard, the, you know, and I guess I'm, I just don't know how, or maybe how do you view that in terms of just how it's game plan wise? Like, is it because they don't think that we can run up the middle, or was it that, hey, Wisconsin's got a defensive line that is pretty good. Their front seven's pretty good. They have, not only that, they're very heavy. And so just bringing the point of attack to that just seemed kind of counterintuitive to me, but maybe I'm tripping, you know?
Well, I think it, honestly, I mean, it's a combination of both. I mean, anytime you're installing a game plan, right? I mean, obviously you have your big playbook, all the stuff that you do, right? But then you watch your opponent and you're trying to see, you know, where they might have a weakness, right? Where you can expose something, right? Where they might be vulnerable. So yeah, they might've said, all right, well, we know this team, because they break it down more than this. If you guys think it's just, oh, okay, they average 2.3 yards per carry, whatever, in terms right. of allowed. No. They go back and they say, all right, when running inside zone, they average this. When running outside zone against, right, when they're defending that, I'm saying, right? Or perimeter right, runs, right. right? So they're breaking down every type. I mean, even in specifics like power, counter, right, hat. They break all that stuff down. So that all goes in or is in consideration when they're designing this stuff. And I'm sure they probably did look at Wisconsin and say, all right, you know, the teeth of their defense, the interior, right, is really good. We know that our offense line hadn't necessarily been able to run the ball effectively there. We know we've got guys like Ryan Williams and others that can hit the perimeter, Kevin Riley, right, they've got juice that we can try to expose that part of the field. And so, yeah, that all comes into play. So to answer your question, I think it's a little bit of both. They probably respected their defensive front, but they also thought, hey, we've got better skill guys than they do on the other side of the football that could probably make plays on the perimeter. So that's probably what it is. And it's not like, oh, man, we haven't. There's been times, the first drive of Florida State, we looked physical. We got knocked back, right? Right. Our running backs were hitting the hole. It's not that you can't do it. The problem is you don't do it consistently. And that's what's been the problem the past few years. It's not like we never could run the ball. It's just, it was true. Never consistent. And that's the biggest issue. They have to find a way to do it consistently. Georgia hasn't been that consistent. I'm not saying it's only us, but here's the thing. Like, you just have to figure out what works. I'll give you an example. A team that people don't really think about, and I don't know what they're doing this year, but I know in the past, Tennessee. When you look at Tennessee and what they do, a lot of times people think, oh, they just want to throw the football, which, to be fair, they do want to throw it, but first and foremost, they're really trying to run the football. I think Tennessee right now is sixth in the conference in rushing. But how do they get to those runs? And I'll talk about them more in depth later on. But here's what they do that's so tough. The way they run like inside zone type stuff. Nothing crazy, but they spread you out. And why is that such a conflict? Yep. Well, when you have four wides, you have to respect that because they have the ability. They can throw the screen. They can just drop back and throw the football. You have to put some, even if you have a backer in the apex, you end up having a very, very light box because you have to respect that. So what happens is you might have four down linemen and maybe only one backer because the other backer has to go walk and respect, at least play the apex. So now he has to make a decision. He's trying to read it. If it's run, I got to hurry up and go fill. But also know I might have to run my ass all the way over here and go play a screen and provide a force there. And so Tennessee, they run the ball great because why? They're exposing your defense and they're making you light in the box. So we don't play right. like that. We, you know, normally have, you know, 11 or even 12 personnel, and we're trying to just run, you know, typical running plays. And if you're going to do that, that allows people to have more in the box. And if you're going to, if that's the case, you have to be physical, right? They're going to have more guys there. Like Tennessee, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, there's different ways of running the football.
Oh, 100. Yeah, it's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game. 100%.
Yeah, 100%. You can tell that Tennessee wants that. They want to slash you with their running game, and they're playing fast on top of it. So, 100%. I mean, that's why they lost. That's why they lost the Georgia game. Georgia was able to take the air out of it and slow them down, and their offensive line played really well on top of it. But they were able to slow them down, and then it's like it turns those long deep shots that Tennessee does want to get to, it turns those into crucial plays that where if they don't get them, then they're kind of screwed. From what it seemed to me, that's what the game had turned into. But you're right. And look, I love the screenplay. I didn't know how I felt about the screenplay to Ryan, the little reverse screen. But then I looked at it and I'm like, dude, we're getting guys second, third level, all the way down the field. You're getting offensive linemen out there, and the setup to it was kind of like goofy looking, but I mean, it's effective. So I just thought, like, you know, running the ball. We supplemented a lot of running between the tackles with a lot of perimeter stuff. And I thought it was effective because we did look really good. So for the sake of running the football, I think if you can supplement it multiple ways, teams do stuff like that all the time. We will be tested, and I imagine we will be more balanced against Georgia, but we'll see.
Yeah. No, and you want it to be balanced. I'm not saying everything has to be between the tackles. Even Georgia, you see them run jet. I mean, they do a number of things. I just think you just have to have that balance. Like you said, you got to be able to do things. But the problem is running between the tackles. I mean, that's to me, like, that's like an identity thing. That, like, when you can do that, that means we're going to line up. We're going to be physical, and right, we're going to get knocked back. We're going to have our guys climb to the second level, and our backs are going to hit the hole. And then again, like, for example, like in 2015, I know we don't have Derrick Henry, but I mean, we could just run the most basic, I mean, inside zone type stuff, duo. And you know, I mean, our line was going to get some good push, but he's going to fall over 3 or 4 yards. And we used to just chomp at the bit. And it used to just wear on defenses, right? Like, running the football, right, it does so many things that people don't understand to a defense, where by the third quarter, them dudes are tired of having big dudes. Ryan Kelly, Big Shank, right? Big Quanjo, guys like just leaning on you, pushed on you. I mean, it's a lie. It wears a team down. And then obviously it sets 100%. Up everything else in the passing game. And I'm just like, they need to just go watch that first drive against Florida State, replay it over and over and over, and see what the hell did they do that gave them success in that first drive. Because again, I mean, I saw guys climbing. I saw guys getting good initial push, great double teams, right? But it just drops off.
Yeah.
Right. So they can do it physically at least, but is it a lack of focus? Is it a lack of attention to detail? Is it guys not finishing completely? I mean, matter of fact, and I'll get him on the show. The guy, I think Landon, he did that breakdown of our running game. He talked about it a lot, and a lot of it really comes from small little technical things that can be cleaned up. Right. So that's on coaching. Coaching staff, they've got to get those guys to really dial into the small details. Because really, man, especially we talk about running the ball, that's really what it is. It's always one little detail. A guy hangs on too long on that tackle before trying to climb up, and that backer has just enough space to go make a play. Or he climbed up too fast, and then that defensive tackle slips off and able to, you know, make the tackle before the back gets going. But if you go back and watch, if he hung on there a millisecond longer, that back would have had just enough of a window to hit that hole, and it would have been a big, big gain. So you just got to figure out how to clean that stuff up. And I think, you know, that would help it. But, man, you got to be, at the end of the day, man, you just got to be physical. You got to go beat the man in front of you, bro.
Yeah, and we got to get the right guys on the field to be able to do that. And I don't care who it is.
100%. You're right about that.
Did you give me your
grades real quick? Because we're about to hit this break.
Oh, did you do? I was working right when you started it. What was? I'll give them to you though.
Offense, defense, and special teams. It's A through F, man.
Okay. Offense, I got to give them a B minus. Just because of week one. But if not,
for what it's worth, I went B plus for offense. I went C plus for defense and C plus special teams. Not like I'm trying to sway you, but I know I threw you on the spot. So that's just a little bit. And in the chat, kind of along all that, like B, C, C.
Yeah, I'd say give or take. Yeah, give or take like the plus minus, you know, depending on, you know, whatever you value more as a fan. But technically, I'd probably agree with that. I think that, but there's also a really good room for improvement. Like you said, small details, things, you know, we can clean up. I don't think it's a complete identity crisis. I think we're kind of forming who we can be. And there's some things that have yet to be seen yet, but I do think that the ingredients are there for it to happen. And hopefully they answer that call and we're able to see the best product.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. Well, Carson, we appreciate you, brother. We're going to hit this time out. That way we can get Slade on here in time. But good to hear from you, man.
Absolutely, man. I'll see you in Vanderbilt game.
Oh, good deal. Yeah, so next home game, right?
Yes, sir. I'm taking a trip with my dad. I'll come and watch the show.
All right, good deal. Yeah, we'll definitely make sure we link up and And yeah, man, that'll be good, man. Take care, brother.
Absolutely. You too, man. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, good deal. Let's hit this timeout. We come back. We had a quick little segment before we get Slade Bolden on here at 12:30, talking some football with him right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 12:30.
The game. The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. During the break, I was showing that breakdown of Alabama's running game versus Florida State. Landon had made that. I think he's like a former Penn State offensive lineman, medically retired or something, but now he does like some breakdown stuff with college football. But he had tagged us in that. I'll be honest, I don't really know him, but he had tagged us in that video that he made, and that's where I got it from, and I shared it, and then I told him, man, feel free to hop on the show. So I'll get him on the show sometime, but his channel is Landon Tangwell, T-A-N-G-W-E-L-L, if you guys like that. But I'll be honest with you, I think he breaks down a lot of Penn State stuff, obviously, like I break down a whole bunch of Alabama. I think he just happened to do that Bama game, but I'm sure if I told him like to come on here, maybe I could get him to do a breakdown like ahead of time. That way he could do it for us here on the show. But anyway, yeah, Landon Tangwall is his name. But anyway, that being said, we'll be joined by Slade here in about a minute or two. He'll pop up and we'll get his grades. Again, we've been playing the role of professor, handing out grades here on the show. We just got done talking with Carson, got his grade. So if anybody's just hopping in here, if you guys want to get in on it, drop your grades. Again, it is offensive grade, defensive grade, and special teams and coaches if you want to do that as well through three games. So first semester grades, first quarter grades, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, and we didn't really get into, like, specifics, Chase, of, like, I guess what's it called, like running game and all that. I just threw all that into my entire grade as a whole. So that's what I had. In terms of this video, I guess we could start this real quick while we wait on Slate, because it's only 5 minutes. But Kalen DeBoer did speak to the media at is in Birmingham. I'm not sure the name of the event, but I know he did answer a number of questions, injury updates, number of other things. So let's go ahead and hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer at the Quarterbacking Children's Health Foundation, I believe, or the Monday Morning Quarterback Club up in Birmingham.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Just
enjoy it. Whoops, we got to change the playback speed. Sorry. There we go.
having a game on Saturday to prepare for, and get to share with people here, see for a good cause. So, guys, we're going to have a couple days away from football, get back to work again on Wednesday, get ready for Georgia. Yeah, you know, just he's got some explosiveness, he's got great strength. We really count on him. He had a great fall camp, and so hopefully that will take him long to get back in the swing of things.
Tim, along the same front, is there limitations? Your understanding of him, when he does come back, do you have to put him on a pitch count, or is it kind of like, when he's good to go, he's good to go?
Yeah, I think with any injury, there's a volume increase that has to happen in a progression. And, you know, this week, we'll keep building on a few of the things he did last week. And then, you know, I don't know what that would be yet at this point. We've got to see if he does any progress. I don't anticipate that he'll be able to go out and just play the game. Maybe at the number of snaps that he probably is going to be healthy.
How do you assess kind of how players have adapted to Brian Grubb's scheme over the first three games, and kind of what elements do you, I guess, expect moving forward to take the next steps and what is wrong?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of progress on that, and they can understand the schemes because a lot of the concepts are in the same families, but I think there's just a feel of and a trust that happens only through you doing it together. And now that we've got three games, I really felt it in this last game as the talk and conversations happen, whether it's during a play, just anticipate what the check might be or what the read might be, where the ball might end up. That's what was happening on the football field. And that's tribute to our guys being in the right spot and understanding really what we're trying to get out of each call that we make. And so that just comes through more experience together, talking through the situations we've been in, and three games in. Now I can really see that happening.
The play of the play that you ran historically second, the execution, the ball, the block, and the down, does that kind of sum up?
Yeah, we've run that play a couple times every year, and that was about as good as it's been run ever. And so, from the landmarks that certain guys need to get to, so that's detail oriented, to being together, being in unison, the timing being exactly where it needs to be, the trust that you have all the ball handling from the handoffs to the flips to the second flip and another throw, and then the linemen being disciplined on not grabbing because they're out in space. And so I was really, really proud of the way we executed that with just one play, but it is a step in the right direction when it comes to just the overall discipline, the overall trust that I think is continuing to happen on our team.
It's been an eventful couple weeks, first week of the season. How do you deal with the intense attention this program gets and the criticism it might receive after the first game you've got?
Yeah, I'm just really proud of our guys and the way they've handled any outside noise. Really, they've understood that it doesn't mean anything. It really matters what we think and what we do. And they've really channeled their focus, channeled their energy in the right things, and that's their preparation. It's probably added a little fuel to a fire in some cases for individuals, but for teams, they've really been forced to stick together, I think, on another level. And so I hope that the edge that it's created the last couple of weeks stays. It needs to. I'm going to keep reminding them of that. It's led to a lot of positive things in our football team. We hate to go through it, but right now, the adversity is better off because of it.
I agree with him. I think we are much better off because of that. So definitely would probably view that in a positive light if possible. That being said, let's go ahead and get all our guys on here. Chase, just confirm with me that we're still good, because I know it always, I just want to make sure we don't bump the radio off. That way we're still good. Are you still good with me, Chase?
Yeah, you're good to go.
Perfect. All right. That being said, we're joined by our official, I guess, guest of every Tuesday now, 12:30, Slade Bolden, the man himself of Slade's segments. You guys can catch that on his Instagram and TikTok at Slade, but it's got the S18DE. You guys already follow him, I'm sure, but check him out there for his Slate segments. And he now comes on to the Miller's Edge to do a couple segments. And ironically, Pastor Payne just hopped on. Rant. Where are you at, man? You got okay. That's where he's at. Okay, a very colorful T-shirt today, and
polo. It's polo.
I see that, but I mean, you got a red sleeve, a green sleeve, light blue pocket.
It was on sale at Dick's sale. That's all I can take.
Okay, yeah, very 90s esque. Very
pass it up.
Yeah. That's all I could afford, Slade. You mean
I go straight to that clearance rack. Trust me.
Well, every time. I used to be like, nah, bro. You know, I want the new everything that came out, that just came into the store out the box. Give me that.
Yeah.
Pay full price. But now my mindset is, where that rack at, bro? And I see polo, I see vines on there, whatever you call these nice stuff, right? Well, this right here, like $90 T-shirt, I get it for like 40.
Yep, exactly. 40, they don't know it's not new.
Nah, they don't. But I mean, 40, brother, I mean, you can find some stuff for $40. I mean, that's expensive.
Nah, you won't get no polo new. I'm not like you. You be going by that weird fishing stuff. No, I don't do.
I'm a very like solid tee type of guy. I just black, right, white, gray, but I wear like, they're called Built, because I like the, I don't know if you've heard of it, Slade, I think you've heard of it, but like Built Basics. I like the material, Built, BYLT, free plug. They used to send me a lot of gear when I was playing, but it's like stretch material. It can kind of serve. It's like athleisure, but you can dress it up, dress it down. I got probably about 15 of those. I just kind of rotate, man. I'm a very simple, you know, easygoing kind of guy.
Same here.
Yeah, man, can't beat it. And then obviously I got the polos that I wear, you know, Nike Golf or Alabama. Anyway, we can talk plenty about fashion, but a lot of people really want to hear.
You got to get that fit. Let me just give you my quick grade real quick, because I won't slay to have it this whole. I just jumped on because I just saw you. I had to pick up my trailer for my golf cart. But anyway, I give the team a C+. That's where I'm at, a C+. Mm-hmm. Just because of game number one. I mean, they were A- to me the last two games, but they effed it out on that first game. So if you take an A minus and an F plus, if they even think. So I take A minus the last two, F plus against everywhere. Florida State coaches, nutrition, strength coach, team, players, everybody got F. I mean, trainers, everybody got F.
It takes everybody. So you're
right. Right. Everyone right. Say everybody, he expect excellence from everybody. So at that point, everybody failed that test. So F with an A+, they kind of got the C+ in the first quarter of the season. It's not bad, but it's not Alabama football. It's not the standard, but but they're climbing back. In 2 weeks, we're gonna figure out who they really are.
I'll throw this in there because I don't know how much Slade caught. I know he's been busy. Mine was I went B+ offense, I went C+ defense, C+ special teams. I don't even think we really had a whole bunch of special teams. We gave up a kick return this last game. I think we were like 3 or 4 for field goals. Punting is just the average of the pack, which is fine. I mean, we didn't really punt a whole bunch. But and then I said for the whole team, I went B- just because I gave them a little bit more grace. Again, C+, B- not much different. But I just said, hell, they really answered the bell with the intensity, and I was really proud of that. And then they continued it against Wisconsin from the beginning of the game. And those are my grades, just to, I guess, preface. But floor is yours, Professor Slade Bolden. Man, what you got for us, man?
Well, I apologize. I wish I'd have heard that beautiful take live.
No, you're good, bro.
Leave the office, come eat, and then, you know, trying to keep myself busy so I don't lose my mind. But anyways, I agree with both grades, you know, just depending on how you look at things. But like you said, C-Mail, on the responsiveness, that was going to test their character and their overall mentality. They could have easily moved on to the next game, felt sorry for themselves, you know, or, you know, played individually, you know, hey, I'm just worried about me. I'm not worried about the team. I'm getting my money, whatever it looks like. And yeah, they probably still would have won against ULM, probably still would have won this game. But I think the overall just flip in the mentality and the execution from both sides of the ball. It was really, really great to see. I mean, I think this team has so much upside, and we're obviously super talented in really a lot of different spots. Yes, there's some things we need to work on, but I like both of those grades just from seeing how they responded, because that obviously was our biggest concern from game one. You know, just the mentality, like, yeah, we lose. You're going to, even though we don't take L's, we take lessons. But yes, we did lose, and it's going to happen, but it's okay. How did we lose? You know, what did it look like? And I think that was, to me, the biggest issue. And, man, we are looking not complete 180, but we're looking like a different team right now, which I'm happy to see. And I think we're going into this Georgia week at the perfect place.
That's my spot.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then some of those things, like breaking it down a little bit more, I said, like, offensively, like last couple of weeks, like he said, I mean, like, they're around the A range. Just the biggest thing for me is the running game still being a question mark. That, to me, and I keep telling folks, like, once we get into SEC play, you've got to be able to run the football. I mean, I know we're passing the ball extremely well. Ty is laser sharp right now. He's cerebral. He's quick with his reads. He's accurate as hell. I mean, he's getting his guys the ball. And not only that, putting it in a perfect spot where they can turn and run and make plays. But offensive line inconsistencies in the running game not being where I would like it to be, I had to knock it to that B+. And then obviously the Florida State game, but which, you know, was what it was. And then defensively, the last couple games, I mean, I thought we were doing things better. Obviously, the intensity and the physicality has been much better. And that's the biggest, you know, thing that I wanted to see. But we got pressure on the quarterback this last week, but I just don't know how to really assess it, because Wisconsin's offensive line is being completely transparent. They weren't a good group. They are dealing with some injuries. They're shuffling things around. I don't know if that's a false sense of confidence, meaning, like, do we still have that level of pass rush when we play a good offensive line down the stretch? I don't know. That's to be determined. So I don't know. I don't know why, but there's still something about this defense. Like, I feel like we're playing better, but I just don't know, when we play a good offense. So something worries me that we could see a little bit of us revert back a little bit.
Yeah.
To be an 100%. Inconsistent stop in the run, to not getting that pass rush. Cause you know how it is, Slay. I mean, playing the Wisconsin, the ULM is one thing, but when you go in a dogfight in Athens against Georgia, right, and they got them dudes that are rated just as high as you, who are pissed off about you beating them last year, right, and you're in their house and they haven't lost 30 games. I mean, that's going to be a dogfight, no pun intended, right? Yeah. You got to play Tennessee. They're going to go fast. They're going to spread you out. You're going to have maybe five in the box with their five, right, and they're coming at you quick. Just in his inside zone, nothing crazy. But then they're threatening you with the screen. They're threatening you with the hitting. So you're already – we know what happened to our defense once they were on their toes against Florida State. I want to see our defense response in those types of moments, because since Florida State, we haven't seen that. ULM and Wisconsin at home, we haven't been tested as a defense. And for some reason, I'm just like – I just feel like some of that could creep back in. But those are just my thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with you. I think from the interior line standpoint, still on offense and defense, we're struggling. Like, as in, we're not getting enough push. Like, I feel like a lot of times we are falling back, and that's not what we are used to seeing. You know, I don't think from a defensive standpoint, the linebackers are really hitting the gaps. Now, I do think the back five, you know, our safeties and our corners are playing very well. It was really good to see Bray Hubbard flying around. I mean, if anyone responded to some negative, you know, some negativity, he did. And he showed why he is one of the better safeties in this league. And but that's the thing, is like, you need all 11 to play like that. Now, will everybody respond and play like it and take that same mindset? I don't know. And I see, you know, hopefully Tim Keenan gets back for this Georgia game, because that will at least show us, okay, hey, we do have more of our guys. You know, I know LT Overton got injured as well. But, you know, we gave up one explosive play on a really good go ball route.
Yeah.
And obviously the other touchdown was a kickoff return. Look, hey, we got to clean up some special teams. That's obviously a huge factor and can change. It could be a huge game changer if you're not focused on special teams as well. But, I mean, there were some good things that I saw from the O-line when it came to just a little physicality. I thought our left tackle, Proctor, was throwing guys out of the club, which, what you know, that's what you want to see. Now, do I still think they're playing as one whole unit? Not necessarily. I think that's one thing that made great O-lines. We've been a part of some of the best O-lines. I mean, my 2020 year, they won the Joe Moore Award. And it wasn't necessarily the talent. Look, granted, we had two first-round O-linemen, Evan Neal, Alex Leatherwood, and Landon Dickerson probably should have been a first-round pick. Second round, now one of the highest-paid guards in the league. Mm-hmm. Emilio Achior, Dante Brown, who were really, really good O-linemen. But it wasn't just the talent that made them so great. They had leadership. They hung out outside the locker room. I mean, they were truly together. And I think having that type of O-line mentality where everybody's playing for each other, we're all in the same, like, telepathic wavelength, that we know each other so well that we know how you're pulling, how you're reaching. That is what makes a great O-line. It's one unit because it all starts up front. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, we have a guy that's taking the snap that is playing at a very high level and can make up for some of the mishaps on the front five. So, look, a lot of things they need to work on, no doubt. You know, I know, unfortunately, even though Ryan Williams had a great game, there was an opportunity where he had a choice corner post route. Tom, maybe to be completely picky, could have hit him a little earlier, but I don't know if it's the pressure, you know, of trying to live up to that expectation from his freshman year is what is causing him to maybe struggle with seeing the ball or being confident with catching the ball. But that's when you just got to go back to the fundamentals, which I think we need to do on a lot of different things. And I'm telling you, coach, what the coach loves the most is what we call look to tuck. You look to tuck. And now, obviously, when you get into live action game, you're not really focusing on that. But if you do it in practice, you do it in routes on air, it becomes natural. And getting extra catches after practice, look, I think Ryan Williams is one of the most confident players, one of the most versatile players, and he has such great field awareness. I'm not worried about him, but, hey, sometimes you got to take a seat back, have an understanding, like, okay, like, what am I doing enough? Am I doing the extra things? Because, obviously, there are missed opportunities on the game. But, like what you talked about, too, there are some really good things that I've seen. But I just really would love to see some more viciousness and some more havoc being caused on the defense, because that no matter how good your back five is, your back seven from a DB and linebacker standpoint, if you can get pressure to the quarterback and get him off rhythm and off his mental clock, that's where turnovers come. That's where turnaround downs come from, you know, three and outs. That's what we need, and we'll see.
Let me both of you young bucks in on something. you got to compare Alabama to the elite, right? So when I look at Alabama, I compare them to the best of the best, one in the country. I compare them to the best of the best, number two in the SEC. And through these three games, albeit that the last two have been phenomenal, right? But we have to take in consideration the competition. I had to take in consideration ULM. I had to take in consideration Wisconsin. Yet a Big Ten team, but we know it's not the old Wisconsin.
Well, real quick, I just want to throw this in just so you have this number, because I was curious. I just pulled it up. So for people thinking like we're being too harsh, Wisconsin's offense is second to last in the conference in total offense. So that's why I'm being, and not to mention they played a backup quarter. That I just wanted to throw that out. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, too.
That's real. That's just real talk. But here's my thing. So as I compare Alabama's defense to the best offense in the SEC, LSU right now, Georgia, Tennessee, I'm going to even throw in Oklahoma into this mix right now. Maybe Texas A&M. into this mix right now. Can I feel confident in this front seven? You know, Slade, you alluded to the back. You know, yeah, the back's decent. The back can make plays. Your corners can cover. But this front seven, I'm still not sold. I don't care if they got sacked the other day. They got sacks against a bad, can't move their feet tackle, the quarterback that kind of don't know what he's doing, an offense that really didn't have guys can beat coverage, can get open. It was a bad offense. They did what they had to do. Congratulations, slow clap there. But do I see them as I used to see Alabama's defense? I don't matter who wears the jersey on the other side, they're going to be dominant. Their guy going to be better than the guy across from them. I still don't see it. Yeah. I think when they play LSU, when they play Tennessee, when they play some of these other, the best teams, I don't think they still measure up. And I think that's going to be a problem. I think it's going to be a problem in a week and a half right down the road here in Athens, Georgia. I look at Georgia. I'm buying mm-hmm. Georgia. I'm buying Georgia because they went into hostile territory behind a couple of touches. Came back and won. They're going to be much better at home. And I don't think Alabama has the players right now on the defensive side to go in and stop people. I just don't. And I think right now this is a 9-3 team again. I see makeup of the same what we saw last year. As much as I want to say they're going to be better, I can't buy it. I ain't buying it right now.
Well, let's do this. Let's hit this quick timeout. That when we come back, we'll give our final thoughts real quick. That way we can catch back up right here at Tide 100.9, 1230.
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. We are about out of time, but I will give you guys a heads up. We'll continue the stream over on YouTube/Facebook. If you guys want to run some overtime with us, we'll hang out here for a few more minutes to really, I guess, put a bow on everything. But we do have to pass things to Wyatt coming up next. So, again, appreciate all of our listeners here. Tide 100.9, Chase behind the glass. And again, if you guys want to continue with the Miller's Edge, just hop on over to YouTube and we'll be here on the live stream as well. And we look forward to doing it again tomorrow in 22 hours right here at Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.